Welcome to Chromecast, Tech It Out. Hosted by service-centric, people-first, UK technology consultancy, Chrome Technologies.
Welcome to Chromecast, Tech It Out. I'm Sam Major, Commercial Director of Chrome Technologies. I'm joined once again by my business partner, Rupert Mills.
Morning, Sam.
Head of Security Operations, Paul Edwards.
Good morning, Sam.
And the one and only, Ben Randall.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, guys. So today we're talking about user security, specifically MFA, SAM authentication, single sign-on, and I guess some of the news we've had recently, some breaches and so on around things like MFA fatigue. So we'll talk about some of the technologies, but I guess some of the pitfalls, what's happening to these people, and I guess some of the behaviours we can talk about and invoke amongst our client base and user base to hopefully educate and stop some of these behaviours. Mm-hmm. Cool. So I'll take my technical hot potato and throw it to one of you to grab.
Yeah, I think what you were talking about earlier with the MFA fatigue thing, it's particularly prevalent at the moment because it's become the new sort of favourite method of access for a lot of the groups of bad actors, shall we term them as. But it's become something that people have, we've spent a long time educating the user base to let's get multi-factor authentication involved. This is how you use multi-factor authentication. And then people have come up with ways to work that to manipulate the people to give them what they want. Mm. So if we explain MFA fatigue to start with, for those that don't understand it, it's essentially where you keep bombing the person with MFA request after MFA request after MFA request till eventually they give up and approve it. Mm. So on a lot of MFA techniques, for example, if we focus on authenticator apps, Microsoft Authenticator, Google Authenticator or something like that, you have the one push, yes, I approve this, when you get an authentication request. And what's happening is people are picking on individuals at odd times of the day, say the middle of the night. Your phone keeps beeping at you at 1 o'clock in the morning saying, do you allow me to authenticate? Do you allow me to authenticate? You're tired. You're just been woken up by your phone. You're frustrated because it keeps doing it. Yeah. And eventually people will give up and just go, oh, just go away and press yes.
Stop beeping.
Yeah, stop beeping. Yeah. And at the point you press yes and stop beeping, what you've effectively done is said, yes, I approve this person who's trying to access my account to log in and access my account.
So someone's compromised a password at that point and they're just pressing the authenticate and you've given in.
Till eventually you give in, And you talked about breaches. There's been some famous ones recently. Notably, Uber's probably the one that's made the most press, but Cisco and a few others. There's, I think, Australia's second biggest telco company called Optus, from the top of my head, have basically had a massive breach as well. It's really big news in Australia. Mm-hmm. But it's very common for this sort of thing to be starting to happen and is causing a lot of people challenges. What you've got to do is look at the big push for a while has been implement MFA. Mm. Everybody get MFA out there, get it implemented. And now it's a question of, have you just implemented MFA or have you implemented MFA well? At which point I'll hand over to the two real experts in the room and they can talk about implementing MFA well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing to consider, obviously there's MFA and that covers a whole field. So we've got, there's not just like your app on your phone. So you might have, you know, at the most basic level, we've got things like an SMS notification, you know, we get that from your bank and so on, where you receive a code from them and then you put that into the website. And that's the number one thing you hear about scammers trying to get people, call people up and say, oh, we just need you to give the code. And obviously that's them trying to gain access to a bank account or something like that. Additionally, SMS is relatively easy by sort of human engineering methods to gain access to those messages. It's not particularly secure. It's better than nothing. But and then obviously we're going into the apps, as you say, where you have what they call a one-time password, where you've got the code that comes up. That's fairly secure. But again, there are weaknesses in that you can have a proxy attack. I guess we can go into a little depth in that later. But the one you're really talking about is the approve, deny. Mm-hmm. You know, this is me, this isn't me. And it's so easy to say yes on that. And so, you know, and in addition to the app methods, then we've got things like FIDO keys and so on, like commercially the YubiKey and other equivalents, which are very secure because you need a passcode and the physical key with a certificate on it to actually authenticate.
I think if you do some sort of reading around the subject, the YubiKeys and things like that, they're great devices, but they're not supported in as many places as the authenticator apps yet and stuff. So rolling them out is a good idea. Mm-hmm. They're great pieces of hardware, but it's a lot of people still relying on the authentication app. And then if you don't just go with the approve deny, it's a question of, okay, how do you make that more secure? I mean, Paul, how would you take that away and make that approve deny piece more secure?
So we could look to change that to provide a prompt to the user. So it's not just a yes or a no. It's it gives them a challenge. So enter a number, select a choice of Microsoft just recently rolled this out to personal accounts, currently in preview for the business accounts, but gives you a choice of three numbers. So you have to select the right one in order to be able to log in. If you get the wrong one, it's essentially a deny. There's another form.
Does it lock you out at that point? Just thinking about, obviously, going very simply, put your PIN number in, well, we put it in three times, you can't get your bank account. If someone's trying that, continually knocking until you give in, but you have to put in something which isn't necessarily just go, and you get that wrong, can it then lock you out and prevent the potential someone just keep going until you give them the right one?
So that's coming. It's in preview, certainly on the Microsoft side. Not yet. It won't lock out your account, but it won't lock out the MFA aspect of it either yet, but soon that's going to be a feature. So definitely one to enable.
Yeah. I think Microsoft are planning on switching the default authentication method to be the prompt and response method, basically. So you'll get a number pop up or whatever. Once it moves out of preview, they're planning on all the business Azure AD.
Yeah.
It'll be the default method, just because this MFA, basically social engineering is starting to make it much easier to work out, let's not hack the computer, let's hack the person and work out how we do that.
Yeah.
I think there's the other one that's very common, albeit slightly less in the headlines, is people phoning up, I'm from your IT department, I'm your administrator, you need to reset your password, we need to go through this process with you, let me dial into your computer while you do it, and that sort of stuff. Yeah. And that's all going on as well at the moment. So it's all, we've talked about it on this podcast before, but actually the education of the user base, as well as implementing best practices for security.
We've talked lots about MFA. I mean, that's been the big thing, is that the one thing you really should implement that kind of bolsters any security strategy is make sure you're using MFA. So that then becomes the attack vector, right? Because everyone's gone that way. So what's the one everyone's talking about, everyone knows about, everyone's had MFA, I won't say pushed on them, but it's been rolled out in kind of in anger and in earnest because we all need it. That becomes the obvious point to attack now, does it not?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the, if you go back away, sort of MFA used to be token keys, like RSA token keys and things like that. And they'd have a code on it rather than you just pressing approve. And I think there's that, okay, we need to get MFA out, but we need to make it simple for users. So they say, right, now instead of having a code, you just press approve on your phone.
Yeah.
The next step on from that is people think, okay, how can I attack that and how can I target it? And because it's not a code anymore and because you've actually just hit approve.
Simple.
If someone wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, go and get that old token key out of your bag and type in the 5-digit PIN code, you're not likely to do it. Whereas if your phone's sitting next to you, as everyone does at night, put your phone on the bedside table or whatever, beep, 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 oh, just go away.
Yeah.
So it's now a recognition by the vendors. They need to go a step back and say, okay, this was making it easy for people to use because we needed that for user adoption. Majority of companies have now adopted it and users have got used to, okay, we do need to have this. It's been the case in some organizations for years, but now it's kind of generally the case for every organization.
Yeah.
And now what's happening is that now we need to secure it again because it's that people are finding ways around hacking the person.
Yeah. I mean, it's about the sort of the adoption, as you say, it's the, how high is the bar to adoption? Like, when you have those external keys, they're quite expensive, difficult to implement. Obviously, it's got a lot easier with things like the MFA apps and so on, and getting the users to agree to do it. And then you make it, it's trying to improve security while also improving the sort of the user experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the keys, people leave them in the bottom of the bag, as I mentioned a minute ago, but, oh, I've lost my token, or there's something other. People tend to take care of their phone. So again, it's something that's with you. It's something that's prevalent. That's why a lot of stuff switched to SMS years ago, was because that whole, okay, we'll send something to your phone rather than needing that key with you all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the banks in the early days were rolling out all the little, here's your bank security MFA device. You just don't see them anymore.
No.
Because it's either on your phone or done in some other way via an SMS, but it's just no one uses the devices really anymore, but there is still the need to make sure that you implement it securely.
Yeah.
And you do put it on. So you talked briefly about proxy attacks. I think that's probably worth
highlighting
as well, because that's an interesting alternative.
Absolutely. the situation where you've got a, you log into the website and it onto whichever thing it is, and it asks you to put the code in, which is on your phone, which obviously rotates every 30 seconds. Now, a key feature of that, they call it a one-time password, but actually it's not. It's a short-lived password, mm-hmm. so it lives for 30 seconds. You could actually use it as many times as you like in that time. Mm-hmm. So what's happened is that the bad attackers or whatever, if you have created a website that looks exactly like the one you need to log into, they trick you to get to that via some other a pop-up or whatever social engineering method, and that passes through the actual authentication page, the authentication that you're doing, to the actual genuine site. So for example, it's your bank's website, you log in, it looks like whatever bank, you log in there, you enter your code, they take that code and use it, but then also pass you through to your actual bank, so you log in and they log in at the same time. Wow. So you're none the wiser that anything bad has happened, yeah. but they've got your account.
Yeah.
And that obviously is a challenge. But I think that with the actual code matching method, I don't think that it's possible to do that, because they'd have to log on as you in advance
yeah.
to actually send you display the code which you're going to select on the phone
yeah.
as being the correct one. So in some ways, I think it's actually better than the rolling code.
Yeah.
The short-lived password, a one-time password.
I guess they'd have to pretty quickly generate the image to send you of which numbers are or whatever if they were going to do it that way.
So yeah,
it's a bit more thought.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not sure impossible, but it's.
I'm sure something will happen.
Say, someone at some point, that's obviously the next iteration
yeah.
of.
Yeah, but it's just if you go back to what Paul was saying about account lockout, if you implement something like that and say, okay, much like you have password lockout, if you enter your password wrongly 5 times, it locks your account.
Yeah.
If you have MFA lockout and say, okay, when you MFA badly 5 times,
yeah.
if you've then got to select a 1 from 3 image or a 1 from 4 image or whatever it might be, you get to that point of the likelihood of you selecting the right one within that 5 becomes smaller and smaller. Then you lock your account out and you go back to, I need to go back to my IT admins and ask them to unlock my account.
Yeah.
And when you've got security products in place, I mean, you tell me, I'm assuming that Sentinel and things like that would pick up and be able to say, okay, actually this, the password is all right, but the failed MFA.
Yeah. You can see that. You can see the location. You can see, number of attempts. You can set thresholds on.
So things like Dark Tracing Center would see if someone is repeatedly asking them to authenticate,
mm-hmm.
could we just like at that point go, well, no.
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Additionally, actually, you'll have the what's known as risky logins.
Yeah,
which is detection. So, for example, if we had you logged in here and then here almost instantly.
Yeah.
As in with that proxy attack, I suspect then the risky logins could be triggered if one's in Thailand and one's in the UK or Russia or wherever.
Impossible travel.
Yeah. I was listening to the team yesterday talking about we had one. With I think it was Birmingham, Cardiff, and then Spain, somewhere in Spain, don't know specifically, but within about 10 minutes of each other. And to be fair, it was someone on a VPN, but it was flagged because it got picked up by Dark Trace, I think it was. It might have been Sentinel, of going around and finding this person had logged in 3 places, oddly, all at once.
Yeah.
It's just patterns that fall outside that normal user's behavior. So if they only log in from certain place and then suddenly they're logging in from over here or multiple places, sets alarm bells going off that actually it might not be the user.
Yeah, I was doing some admin work on Sunday on one of our servers that I don't log into very often, and our 24/7 team actually contacted me on Teams while I was sat there saying, have you just logged into this? Yep. Because we've had an alert. And I was, yeah, actually, I'm doing some work on it. They're like, okay, cool. We were just checking because we could see that you'd logged in, but it was outside of... exactly. Delete me. Fair enough. But outside of my normal pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
So it's having all of those tools layered on each other, going back to educating the users.
And someone looking at it.
But implementing things like MFA well and continually tightening that security posture.
That's what I was going to say. Because obviously the MFA, pushing MFA is that great. It's made it really easy because it is just log in here, put your fingerprint in or whatever it might be here, and you're in.
Mm.
But that's what sort of saying is that's almost too easy, right? So what would you guys recommend is, to our clients, as it were, what should they be thinking of? What's the easiest next step that gives them the kind of the best level of security without becoming too onerous where you're carrying multiple different things and things you could forget and so on?
I would say that looking at where you can use single sign-on technologies such as SAML.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you've got if you're a Microsoft user and you've got Microsoft Azure, M365, you could be using the MFA with to log into that. And so you've got credentials in Azure. You've got that account that you log in with. You can also integrate, use the authentication method in the SAML to authenticate other services, you know, which are not directly related to that. You can actually integrate that authentication.
Okay, yeah.
So this is something which multiple of our clients are going through at the moment, is adding SAML authentication so they can use the same login as they use for everything else, rather than having a separate set of credentials, which chances are would either need a separate MFA platform, you know, so they can use the same authentication, the same password, same MFA method for all these different services and apply the same conditional access rules and so on. So thus making it easier for the user, and they're less likely to have a password written down somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the...
Back to the challenge again, always being perennially being the person in the chair rather than the system and the security layer, right? So
the other thing to consider is actually is that never underestimate the resourcefulness of a user to actually find a way around around to make things life easy for themselves. I mean, we've all heard about the post-it note with the password on the monitor, but one we came across recently was in a warehouse. An actual barcode they'd realized that the barcode scanners that they had with them could actually scan into text. So they put their password in the barcode form on their laptop so they could scan that and then log in.
Well,
which I thought, you know, hats off for ingenuity. Yeah. I hadn't even thought of that, but unfortunately that's behavior to be frowned upon.
Yes, indeed. But again, it just shows you it always comes down to, I think, on these, it's the education, isn't it? There's great technologies to protect the MFA piece well, but then to notice if there is bad actors and unusual behaviors and so on. But the key thing is always the education of the user base as to the importance of MFA and not being silly and not trying to be super resourceful and scan passwords or you know, stick on the back of your laptop case and all that sort of stuff.
Bad actors will go for the weakest target, essentially the easiest thing to breach, and quite often that is the human element. You can put all the tech resources there, but if the user's going to, you know, click approve on an MFA prompt and let them in, then that's the easiest, that's the most cost effective route into that business to compromise them. So
easiest return, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tidying up old accounts inside systems as well, equally important, because that bit of, if you get in as a user, you're still at a user level of privilege. Once they're in the system, they then start traversing internally looking for things, and if you have old admin accounts that have been left there that aren't in use and that sort of stuff, that tends to be the next step on, because normally that initial compromise gets them in at that level. Once they're in, they stay in and they start traversing around trying to find something. So so housekeeping internally as well is an absolutely important one.
Removing local accounts or restricting, if there's say two login pages, one that's protected with MFA and SAML and one that's maybe not, maybe a page that should be internal only, or one that's maybe been just forgotten about, just didn't know it was there. And if there's a way in without MFA, then that's what they're going to use because it's easier.
Okay. So I guess in summary, it's as always, user behavioral training, having the right tools that aren't too onerous but are very secure, making it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And then housekeeping.
Yeah, and tightening up your MFA when it all goes live with sort of business for the next MFA methods, get them tightened up and get them moved forwards if you are using one-touch passcodes at the moment or one-touch authentication.
Yeah. Keep it under review.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you as always. Always insightful and a little bit terrifying, and I shall be reviewing my own. I'll be taking my password off the top of my laptop after this podcast. I haven't called. You haven't got to check. It really isn't. But thank you, guys. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of Chromecast. Take it out. If anything you'd like to cover in future episodes, then leave that in the comment section below. Please like, subscribe, and share. Join us again next time. Check it out.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For more information or to speak to Chrome, visit www.chrome.co.uk, spelled Krome. That's chrome.co.uk.